Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today's message comes from the Old Testament reading of Ezekiel, as you heard a few moments ago. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last week we heard the words of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And while we often picture this valley of the shadow of death, the things that we're experiencing in life, all of our struggles, those deep, dark moments we go through, whether mentally, emotionally, those low points in our life where we feel like we're in the valley, or any sickness, any disease, any physical ailment, things that can ultimately lead to our death. I don't know if there's an actual better image of the valley of death than what Ezekiel sees here in his vision from God. Now, what's interesting to note is that this image of death is sandwiched between two images of life. I mean, if we were to say, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg, or in this case, life or death, well, we know that in the beginning, God created life. Death only comes after life has been given. The first half of the life sandwich happened in chapter 36, as you heard, where God says he will sprinkle clean water to cleanse from uncleanness, give a new heart and a new spirit, and put his spirit in them. I mean, you can see this as many things. You can see this as Jesus sending his spirit upon the disciples, like you heard promised by Jesus in our gospel reading for today. And of course, the Spirit is only going to come after Jesus dies on the cross for us, after he rises from the dead for us, after he ascends into heaven. I mean, this points to Pentecost, where the Spirit comes upon the disciples and they begin to spread the word of God to all nations. The other image, especially when you connect the cleansing water with the Spirit, is an image of baptism, which we are also called to bring to all nations. I mean, and this is what is applicable for us today, that baptism into the water and the Word, through the work of the Holy Spirit, gives new life, creates faith in us, cleanses us from our uncleanness, from our sin, is at work not just around us, but in us, to help us lead that God-pleasing life where we walk in the ways of God. And the reason that we need forgiveness, the reason that we need new life, the reason that we need the Spirit is because we're dead. And that brings us to chapter 37. As Ezekiel is brought in the same spirit, this is a vision, to this valley of bones. As Ezekiel looks at this valley of bones, the question is asked, can these bones live? Now you hear this question. I mean, imagine you're looking at this valley of bones, and you're like, ha, that's funny. Is this a joke? Oh, you're serious, God? You actually want me to answer that question? And of course, everything in you just screams, no, right? No, these bones can't live. Because dead people can't do anything. They can't make decisions. They're not talking. Right? They're not thinking. They can't choose to raise themselves to life. Because they're dead. They're dried up. I mean, it's like, how many of you have ever used a food dehydrator before, right? To dehydrate or to dry out food, you know, fruits, vegetables, you know, meat if you want to make some jerky, right? Whatever it might be, you can't undry it, right? You can't rehydrate jerky and turn it back into steak. You can't restore it to its former self. That's the valley of dry bones that Ezekiel is looking at. Now, of course, they speak later on in the chapter. Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. And when you view this comment from the whole people of Israel, you remember that Ezekiel is a prophet. And he is a prophet to the Israelites who are in exile. And this is during the Babylonian captivity. And they're feeling like Babylon is their grave. All of their hope is dead. Their dreams are gone. There is no future because they're dead and they will never be restored. Just like Ezekiel looks at this valley of bones, we can turn and look around and see that death is all around us. From the moment we're born, we're not getting any younger. We're getting older, which means every day we get closer to death. Now, that may not be the most uplifting way to start your day, but that's why we have to talk about this as a sandwich. Death is sandwiched between life. We can't just avoid it. We can't just not talk about it. And if you've been with us at all in our Bible study on Sunday mornings, we're studying the book of Revelation. And as we get closer to Christ's return, we get closer to that end being realized that Revelation talks about, which means in our lives, each day we are getting closer to our end being realized. We are getting closer to our funeral. And as we said last week, right now, you're not dead yet, right? You're not at your funeral. You're just getting closer. And God willing, all of you have many years ahead. Now, in your physical life, you're not dead yet. And you're making decisions because your body is alive. Your brain is functioning. You chose which clothes you were going to wear. And thank goodness, actually, all of you chose clothes. You decided what you were going to have for breakfast. And maybe that was nothing. You'll all hopefully stick around for the potluck lunch, especially if you didn't choose to have breakfast this morning. And you'll choose which things you're going to eat from there. And hopefully all of you will stick around for the voters' meeting where more decisions will be made by you. But those things have nothing to do with your spiritual life. The only reason that you are here in this church is because of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because when it comes to our spiritual life, we're all dead. You, me, everyone. As Paul writes in Ephesians, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And when you're spiritually dead, can you make decisions? Can you choose to raise yourself, give yourself life? Can you choose to give yourself eternal life? No. I mean, there may be some that hold out hope that they're still maybe just a little bit alive, right? That they still have some breath in them, that they can at least do a little bit to help themselves. But no, you're dead. That is the reality of sin in this world. Death. Death is the result of sin. No one can escape it. No one can prevent it. No one can choose their way out of it. But it's not just physical death like these valley of dry bones. It's eternal death. It's hell. It's the absence of God, where you are cut off from God, where all hope is indeed lost. And the only one who can raise you and give you life is God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And while Ezekiel may want to say to God, no, these bones can't live, they're dried up, they are deader than dead, he says, O Lord God, you know. And guess what? The Lord did know. He had a plan. He says, prophesy, hear the word of the Lord. God says, you'll get muscle and flesh, and I will put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And if you were in Ezekiel's position, you may be hesitant to prophesy, knowing that it seems crazy that a body can be restored from dry bones with just a few words. And that's the question. Can the Word of God do such great things? And we look at our own lives. We look at the lives of others. We take a look around at the state of things in the church. And sometimes we question whether or not God is at work, whether or not God is present in this place, whether or not God is living and active, whether or not the Word of God can create life. Ezekiel prophesies, and the bones begin to rattle. And I know you can probably imagine that sound of dry bones rattling, forming together, right? And then you hear the foot bone connected to the leg bone connected to the knee bone connected to the thigh bone, and on it goes. Until all the bones are joined together, and then flesh comes upon them, and they're covered in skin, but there was no breath yet in them. And you can imagine Ezekiel thinking that this is incredible, right? As these bodies begin to take shape by the Word of God, but they're not fully alive yet because there is no breath in them. And so Ezekiel prophesies again, and the breath comes into them, and now they are a great living army. I mean, this is the picture for those Israelites in exile. God promises that even though they feel dead, He will grant them life, and they will live as His people. He will give them spiritual life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this reminds me of the words, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. You recognize these words at all? And this is the other half of the life sandwich. This is where we make our sandwich complete. As you confess these words, they don't always grab your attention. But listen again. The Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. These are the words from the Nicene Creed. We confess it most often as we celebrate the Lord's Supper like we will today. These words certainly match the vision of Ezekiel. The Spirit gives life to things that are dead. Dead bones need the Word of the Lord. The Spirit works through the Word of the Lord. This is how God works. Hebrews 4 reminds us, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You look at those dry bones and you wonder what kind of marrow is left. The Word pierces to the marrow. The Word is living and active. The Word does create life. When the Word of the Lord is combined with the water, it gives life in baptism. Each child, each infant, each adult that is brought to the waters of baptism receives exactly what God promises: forgiveness, life, and salvation. And you are joined together with Christ. When the Word of the Lord is combined with the bread and the wine, it gives life in the Lord's Supper. Each person who comes and eats and drinks the bread and the wine, the body and blood in faith, receives forgiveness, life, and salvation as you feast at the table with Christ and with all of the company of the saints in heaven who have gone before us. By your ears hearing, the Word gives life, because faith comes through hearing the Word. And it is faith that saves. We who were dead in our trespasses, as Paul says in Ephesians, have been made alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. The word of the Lord, baptism, the Lord's Supper are all means of God's grace. And it's by grace you have been saved. Because it's through these means that you are joined with Christ and made alive. You look around this place, and you may be tempted to see it as a valley of dry bones. But it is far from that. This is where salvation is found. Where his means of grace are, is where there is life, not death. This is how God works, and this is all a part of God's plan. But in order to get where we are today, being made alive with Christ in his means of grace, Christ first had to die. Before we get to new life, we have to experience death. Except it isn't us who experiences death. It's Christ who takes our death for us. It's Christ who pays the price that our sins deserve. It's Christ who bears the punishment, who suffers hell, who voluntarily gives his life for us, dies in our place. And it was his words of "it is finished" that are breathed out and spoken as his final breath. But it is those words, "it is finished," that means death does not have the final say. Christ does. The perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world overcomes death and the grave and rises from the dead, because life comes from death. This is where the Spirit is active. Paul writes in Romans, "The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you." And we go from death to life because of that same Spirit who dwells in you and who gives you life. And now, as we have flesh and bones and life and the Spirit, we can look around at the world that we live in today and we can see it as a valley of dry bones. Because that world does not have the Spirit. They do not have faith. Because they do not have the Spirit and they do not have faith, they do not have life. And what is our calling other than to take the word to them? Because it is the word that can bring the dead back to life. Because the Holy Spirit works through the word. Where there is no hope, God gives hope. Where there is only death, God gives life. In other words, the thigh bone connected to the backbone connected to the neck bone connected to the head bone, and it's with your head, your mouth, that you speak the word of God to the dry bones of the world. And they who hear the word of the Lord can be brought back from death to life, as they rise with Christ in his resurrection and are given new life in the Spirit, who is the Lord and giver of life. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, give your hearts and minds, guide your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.